Joining me for the September edition of Our Town is Rick Chilton with the Helping Hands Coalition, which has sort of an umbrella over several different things. One of it is dealing with community health and community health services, the Social Health Center. That's part of it as well. And we talked a while back. You were kind of just getting started with kind of introducing people that didn't know about what you do to the city, to our listeners. Tell a little bit more about what's happened since May and June of this year.
Yeah, so we, well, thank you. Good morning to you. Good morning to all you who are listening. So the Community Social Health Center came about a very long needs assessment we did from the COCs, which are kind of like the healthcare payers, and they're legislatively required to put together needs help for communities. So there was five of them. We then analyzed them all among all the demographics and put together a really good fact sheet of the needs of the community, and hence came about as a Community Social Health Center. As you recall, social health is everything you wouldn't get at a doctor's office. So what we cover is spiritual health, social health, and mental health. And so these are all the factors that deal with the conditions in which you live, work, play, age, and learn. That's in the communities in which we target. And we specifically look after individuals. Our target market is people who are socially and economically disadvantaged in the Western Lane County. So we go from Florence, you know, down to Dune City, up a little ways north, all the way to Mapleton, and then pass into that all the way to,
Swiss Home Deadwood.
Yeah, a little past there. All the way up to Junction City. So we're slowly moving our way up west, and the response is absolutely great. And if I can just review again what our deliverables are. So people who are in our target audience, we do, for the last 12 years, since the inception of Helping Hands Coalition, we are one of the premier meal sites where people can have lunch. So this is our 12th year doing that in a meals facility. And this year, we're going to surpass 56,000 meals.
Wow.
That's a lot.
And that's just Western Lane County.
Well, that's just in Florence. Just in Florence area. So if you think of a population of 10, we probably fed the whole city five times.
Yeah, really.
So it went really upped our game. So we got all USDA product foods. It's an evidence-based program. And so it's highly nutritional. So we're very fortunate to have Food for Lane County as one of our partners. And they graciously donate the food for us. And we just have to go pick it up in Eugene. And we've put together a bunch of freezers and fridges, and we store the stuff. And we've got volunteers. We're an all-volunteer group, so none of us gets paid for our services. So that's kind of our legacy. So we expanded that to help more to the direct needs of our community. And so we're blessed to have, you know, a program called the Community Social Health Center that's mobile, and we go out where they are. And it's actually exceeded over 1,900 programs. I think it's 1,972 local, regional, national programs that we can leverage. And it's pretty great, right? I mean, we encourage everybody, if you need some help, you call 211. Like 911, it's kind of a spot, a point solution. If you call 211, you're going to ask them where's housing and everything. But that doesn't deal with the totality of their social needs. And why it's so important, and it's a proven program. If you, in the healthcare, it's deal with a frame called social determinants of health. And it's so widely proven, and it was even more accentuated when we had the pandemic, because, you know, everybody was housebound, right? Your isolation. Mm-hmm. So social health played a great role. And the data that points out how successful and proven this program is, so if you go to a doctor, you get about 20% of your health outcomes from a doctor. And that's just with medical. But in social health, you get up to 80%. So that's a 400% increase of your outcomes. And that's one of the key metrics and objectives of our program is to lessen the health disparities. We have a very, very broad, widened health disparities because basically driven socially, economically. We have a poor community. 60% of our population is in seeking financial distress. And when that perpetuates each and every day, that becomes very chronically mental health. There's people are making decisions at their kitchen table whether they're going to pay rent or buy food or, you know, how many. And a lot of times kids are going to school not hungry, right? So they're putting a lot of programs in there, but they don't have the mental health. Sometimes they can't get prescription drugs. And so what we do is trying to fill them gaps. And
And there's a lot of different aspects to mental health, right? A lot of different levels to that. I mean, some of it just might be the stress of having, like you said, to make those decisions. And some might be chemically imbalanced and stuff like that. So there's a lot of different levels that feed into mental health
issues. The preponderance of diagnoses when people having mental health is anxiety and depression. It's probably close to 80%. And then from there, you can just add more complicated different conditions. But a lot of that is just not having stability. You know, if you don't have the food stability or you don't have the financial security, getting appropriate income, this is where it starts falling apart. And unfortunately, when you get to the 60% of the people in financial stress, 14% of that is in poverty. And we're reaching now the third generation of poverty in there, right? And then the difference is people who are at risk. So these are the people that just don't, you know, they're kind of like making too much to get a program and not enough to have one sort of thing. And so we call these ALICE. So it's an acronym for, United Way actually came up when it was very, very enlightening. It basically means that they don't get enough hours and they don't get enough rate of pay. So for right now, a household of one, you need $36,000 to live in the Florence, Sayulita region area. And there's a lot of people that can't meet that. And so what that does is we try
and that money is just meeting basic needs?
Just basic needs.
That's not any extravagant
living
whatsoever. Yeah.
It's just the biggest driver of that is housing, right? So because we're seeing people that are spending, unfortunately, more than 30% of their income on housing. And once you get over that 30%, then it starts to be difficult to pay for childcare, you know, groceries and food and medical, that kind of stuff, even paying your taxes.
Yeah. It used to be, I guess when I was younger, it was like, all right, 1 week's pay should equal your monthly rent.
Yeah.
Any more than that, and you're out of skew. And now you're saying it's like 30%, which is even greater.
Yeah. So what are the things that we do? So in a discipline of social health, just like medical care, if you went to the doctor, they do a diagnosis and they use what's called an ICD-10. It's a code. And that would say you got congestive heart failure or whatever. And they would then be able to pull up what we call a pathway. So basically, based on your chronic situation or the severity of it, if you may, then we'll actually put together a path. Well, how does we get you healthy? Well, we do the same thing in social health. That's what we create. So you probably can't see this, but I'm holding up our basically social health pathway. And it has three components. The first part is your strategic pathway to health. So what is your ultimate goal, right? You got to have a plan to get out of this. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to get one better than self-sufficiency. It's called self-resilience. Because one thing is self-sufficiency, but if you don't have the mental health part of it, to build the resilience of the coping skills, for example, that you need to go across the next issue that you're going to come in life. Because we all have these trials and tribulations in life, right? But if you have to have that ability and that skill in order to kind of combat that and deal with it. And so that's the what we're trying to strive for. So the three parts in our report, because the process is pretty simple, right? You get our intake form and it's available on helpinghandsflorence.org. And they can download the form. They can fill it out. And on the back of it is the 11 categories of social health information. And they just circle and tell us what they need. And what's interesting, it starts off as a want list. And it basically doesn't reflect necessarily the needs, because when we do the intake, we sit down and we talk to them, usually over the phone or they come in the office or we go to their site. And what we talk about is basically just confirming, do you have enough food? Or, hey, I didn't see you didn't check any mental health. But we also have health behavior education. So we're trying to change lifestyles. You get into a kind of a routine of maybe in a healthy lifestyle, like smoking, for example, or diet and exercise. So we're no longer have infectious diseases in a developed country, it's all chronic diseases, right? So if you don't get some of these things like diet and exercise, diabetes is very, very chronic. It's a very serious disease. So we try to educate them, show them the ill effects of using that. And we launched a tobacco campaign recently for that. Right. We'll talk about it later. But basically, they indicate, you know, some of the lifestyles they want to change. In addition, asking things about housing, you know, we're actually approved housing liaison with HUD. So they basically, anybody would come through us along through some other partners in the community that we would actually put their request to the top of the list. So right now there's a long list, but because you live in Florence and there's housing available in Florence, we'd be able to put you right on top, right? So for example, we have vacancies for 3-bedroom homes.
Really?
Yeah. So we're looking for people. And if you know somebody, the rule is, which changed, you got to have 2 heartbeats per room, 3 bedrooms, 6 people. Now, the exception to that is you have a living caretaker or something like that, or a service dog. You know, we can talk about them as exceptions, but that's basically requirements. I mean, it's basically $1,100 a month, you know, for a family of six, if you think of it that way, or in between $700 and $900 for one bedroom. There's no two bedrooms available in Shore Pines, for example, right now. So anyways, they can go through, food security, which is really important. So we'll line them up to make sure they got the stamp program or they can get the Florence food share. We also have different things that we can do for housing and transportation. You know, we can get gas vouchers if you got to go to Eugene for medical. You know, we have temporary shelters if people want to have that. We have that in Eugene. And I think we're probably going to have maybe a shelter here. We'll have to wait and see. And then we have different financial assistance programs. We got access to people to do their tax returns. You know, a lot of people who fail to do tax returns, and a lot of federal tax credits for children. And that's like money on the table they're left off.
Right, yeah, they're leaving it behind.
Yes,
yeah.
So and the big thing is education. So at the end of the day, what we're focusing on is get them to be self-sufficient in a sense of either go in further education, get more marketable skills, or if you're already employed, we really emphasize getting a side hustle, which is a kind of job on the side, and we help you procure that, right? And we've got a good partnership with Goodwill, job opportunities here. Great program. We send a lot of people that way, and we have a methodology for them to follow, how to market themselves effectively, do the interviews right. We have a little clothing section inside our center if they need some new clothes or something like that.
Go to a job interview or
Or if they need to get, need to get a shower before they go. We got laundry vouchers as well for them. If they need a little bit of gas, we'll give them some gas too. So we'll help them out to get on their feet. But what we're trying to do at the end of the day, there's a strong correlation of skills and education to that of income, right? So the more skills and education you have, the high probability you're going to get a better and better job. So even if you're in that population that's at 49% that's, maybe at risk, come by and see us because we want to basically upgrade your skill sets and get a better paying job. We also get people what we call a side hustle, which is pretty interesting. So it's things like you can start picking up power washing jobs on the side. You can do customer service if you're disabled, right? We're trying to get you off some of these government programs. We got people who are doing market research, for big firms like Campbell's and General Foods. And then we have other organizations similar to that looking for social media experts who would help us with doing blogs and doing posts. And that could reach up to $100 an hour. Now, there might not be many hours, say, for example, but you can work at home, do your own pace, and right. It's very helpful.
And if it's a side hustle, it's extra money with what you're already bringing in.
Yeah, I'm not advocating not to report to the IRS, but
right.
You still want to follow the rules of the land. But this gives you a sense of the program. So once we basically get what you think you need, and then we basically do a gap analysis between where you're at and what you should be needing, and we talk about these things. And then a lot of times we'll intervene and we'll add some more services to this. Right?
Now, let me add. I just want people to know, and I'm pretty sure I'm right on this and you'll verify it or not, but this is all anonymous too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, someone is sitting at home listening to this right now and saying, well, I don't want anybody to know what my situation is. I don't, I'm a little upset that I'm in this position.
Sure.
So, I'm not as likely to act because I'm worried that, people are going to find out. So, that's private.
This is very private, confidential. But we get into some financial stuff. We ask you what your income and your debt is.
But it's still between just you and them.
Yeah, that is exactly it. And don't share this with anybody. It's up to you or who you want to share with. But I want to just basically stress that what we focus on is leverage these social economical programs, right? And we're trying to get you more money, but also to maintain the money that you have, to be prudent in your spending. And that's kind of where we get into this. So the three parts of our report that we give every person is basically the social health pathway. It's how do you go from A to C? So it's basically a objective that you have to try to achieve. And then we have three sub-objectives in there, and it's all what we call SMART objectives. They're specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely, so that you can then say, okay, by this date, you should be doing these things. Mm-hmm. So it keeps you on track, and then we'll touch in about every couple of weeks to see how well you're doing. And then
it's almost like an exercise plan. I started out with a 5-pound weight, and then after a few months, I'm pushing 20-pound weights or 30-pound weights.
Yeah. And in the industry, we kind of call it like case management, right? Mm-hmm. But the point is, though, I'm not here to do this for you, right? So you have to do the heavy lifting. Right. I'll write it up for you. I'll give you the path. I'll lead you the way, but you have to initiate it. And if you have a problem or you can't cognitively do this, we'll help you out. But you got to show some willingness on the other side of the desk. To help us. That's kind of really important.
Well, that also makes it more meaningful to the person, too, yeah. when they're successful at it.
Yeah, and they feel good. And we use a technique called motivational interviewing. And that's basically, we do kind of a motivational menu. It's kind of a technique that basically understands what are the positive things they're looking for, and we just keep leveraging that, right, and give them that encouragement. I mean, you could do this, right, and we'll help you, right? So it's not using the Home Depot tagline that you can do it and we can help.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, so we go through all the aspects, and then we get to the behavior education requests. So we really start to get into what is your lifestyle? How can we change that up and become more healthier, right? Because that, I think it's a really important thing to get off these chronic illnesses that people are laced with or prone to get worse. And that's the difference, right? By the time you get to a doctor, for example, you're in serious trouble. You know, I just came back from the hospital. They're a partner. We do the social health for them there. And it's when people in bad shape. It's like tobacco, right? That's 100% preventable, mm-hmm. right? If people would stop. And just to digress just a little moment, when I start meeting people with tobacco, and they said, oh, my goodness, so glad we have a program, you know, 1-800-QUIT-NOW, that I can really, really stop. Because mm-hmm. it's so difficult, George, for these people to quit, right? And it was timely because we have a host site with the two schools, Mapleton and Syosa. And the principal is telling me, he says, this is great because 2 years ago we did a pretty elaborate education on tobacco. So now we're back to reinforce the ones who went through it and the ones who are coming through it again. So just a reminder that vaping is really bad for you, and we'll talk a little more about that. But these are the things that we focus on our health behavior side.
Well, and again, too, you've got the addiction of the nicotine and the tobacco, but then you've got the anxiety that they're using the tobacco for a lot of times. They have underlying issues yeah. that I grab a cigarette when I'm feeling anxious or when I'm feeling, yeah. you know, so it's like twofold or even threefold.
Yeah,
sometimes.
And unfortunately, that's a myth, right? So when you take nicotine, which is a drug, right, and you have existing anxiety and depression.
Makes it worse.
It does. Yeah. It accentuates it further. So the only thing that's actually from a behavior perspective is that you're breathing in and you're taking the time to have the cigarette. It's not the nicotine in the cigarette. It's the break. Mm-hmm. It's taking the break out of the stressful situation, and you're actually getting maybe 80% of clean air with 20% tainted nicotine, right? And it's that behavior that kind of creates the addiction and the chemical then just adds to it, right?
So if they could find other breaks in their day rather than tobacco, they would have a huge success right there.
Oh, yeah, too. Pick up drinking water.
Yeah.
You know, just go to the water cooler. Just have a drink of water. Go walk outside for a clear your head, right?
Go watch the waves on the beach for a little bit.
Yeah, like exercise is really great, right? So many people I see in Florence are always walking their dog or walking from work. So then the last part of the report that we give you after education is we have a personal financial guidelines. So we have this massive spreadsheet basically tells us all the costs that you need to live, and it's all stratified based on household makeups. So there's how many adults in there, how many are working, how many in the household, how many children. So we get that, and that basically says, okay, based on that household makeup, this is how the amount of money you need, right? Mm-hmm. And then we can put that together where you do need it. Right. And so the gap between what you have and what you require is then the economical gap that we're trying to close. So we close that by getting more education, getting a better job, you know, looking to how to spend your money properly. So it gives them this guideline, this fiscal guideline for them to operate in a very in a financial responsible way. So there's kind of a synopsis of what we do in the report. And I must say, though, you know, it's you know, we've been hustling out to probably not close to about, we're probably at 80% of RVs and various other parks that we're kind of giving out our literature. We kind of start dispensing over 6,600 pieces of literature. And as you know, we're on the radio 3 times a day. And it's a lot of people didn't know we were here, we didn't exist it, but it also brings us a lot of good partnerships. So we're going to be having a great partnership here shortly with for mental health. So we're going to go expanding our service a little more and try to help people with NAMI. It's the National Alliance for Mental Illness. And they're a great program. I've used them in the past for people having trauma or whatever. And they're a good resource. So we're looking to see how we can put that together for our family. So a lot of the programs we have are in the mental health or telehealth. So we have 243 different vendors. And it's anywhere from individual counseling to family counseling and substance counseling, which gets into be more of a specialty. And most of that stuff is free or very low prices. So there's no reason somebody can't get help. And then we also work on the behavior self for spiritual health. And a lot of people are basically, you know, at war, always angry, for example, and they can't find peace. So we work with local churches and synagogues and temples here in town for them to give them an awareness that that resource is available. And it's surprisingly how much, you know, people, I've seen people who, who've actually done that, had a very big alcohol problem, and they just never had the test, the taste or desire to go back to alcohol. So there's a lot of good transformations, and, you know, worship is a really good mental health relaxer, you know, for you to take the time out and really look after yourself. And I know speaking to a lot of the pastors, they're welcome to have you, and they do a lot because you're now getting into a family, a church family, and they're positive reinforcements for you and to help you. And once you start getting integrated, so we encourage you to come to see us, and we will help you, guide you, introduce you to people.
Well, talk about how someone can get in touch with you, because I mean that we know about some of the services here, but how can someone who needs some help?
Well,
reach out.
Here's the candy of the conversation. We'll buy you a free lunch. You come over. I'm sure everybody has to eat, so come over to our facility at 4590 Highway 101. It's across from Fred Meyer. And it's the lower level of the Community Baptist Church. And we're open Monday, Wednesday, and Friday during noon, so 12 to 1 o'clock. And come in and have something to eat. They're good, nutritious meals. And if it's something you want to chat about, you could see any of our program advisors. You can pick up a intake there, a program service request, sit down and kind of chat and start to initiate. Fill it out if none of us are there, because a lot of times we're mobile, we're going out in the field. Just fill it out, put it into a locked box, and we'll pick it up, we'll call you, and then we'll start the process. And I tell you, the reception that we got was phenomenal. We're up 72%. When we gave them this intake form, 98% of the people wanted. So that's the engagement part of it, very successful. So we're trying to increase our utilization rate for the people to have it, because we're trying to encourage them, like, you got to have a little faith, and you got to start initiating it on your side. And we encourage them, but you have to kind of have showing that, right? We're not a place for handouts. What we're really doing is trying to encourage people to get that self-resilience. Because there's nothing greater than what I witness is when they call these people, and whatever they need, be housing, food, whatever their social health factors are, and when they do it, it's such a great gratitude I see on their face. And I said, I knew you can do that. You can do this. You will do this. Mm-hmm. And we continue working with it. And it's become good friendships with people who are here. So we work strictly. We have a task force for Unhouse here in the community we work with, SOS. And I think it's about 24 of us vendors that come together. We're also starting a new task force. This is now Helping Hands to deal with seniors. It's a pretty serious problem that we don't have any aftercare. For example, they come out of the house. They have a very difficult time cognitively, and we really want to understand the needs. So if anybody's listening who's interested in helping us to do senior care, we're going to do an assessment, a big, broad community assessment. And we're going to find out the needs, basically going back to what we did here, and then to figure out programs and get assistance. Also, Helping Hands is involved in getting a community child care program in here, and this is a center. So we have identified some land. We also had a meeting with the city hall to keep them up to date as to what the problem is. So we're working collectively that, because that's a pretty important cornerstone for social health in our community. So, and we've got some other announcements coming on, but it's a little premature at this time to mention them. But we're working hard for the community of Siuslaw and Western Lane County.
Now, I'm sure that you probably could use volunteers from time to time too, right?
Oh, sure. We're all volunteer organization. We're always looking for good cooks and servers and program advisors. And if you're out there doing internship, I just got approached. We do a lot of work at the hospital. So we're probably going to put social worker internship in our program. So people are going to school. They want a little bit of field service and get a little bit more experience about how, you know, social health works. They're certainly welcome to come, and we'll accredit them accordingly.
One of the ways they can go to helpinghandsflorence.org, get information. Yeah. They can get the intake form if they need that there too. Is there a phone number they can call?
Yeah, you can call our office at 541-997-5057. That's 541-997-5057. And you can call me directly or my cell, too. So I'm at 541-725-3554. That's again 541-725-3554. And you can get us at both of them phone numbers.
Well, I know we've got a whole bunch more we can talk about, but let's save that for the next time and bring you back in again in a couple months and see where we're at then,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So our goal is to live a healthier life. So please get a hold of us, and we would like to have anyone in your family. Please notify your neighbors. Just introduce them. I just left the hospital 15 minutes ago, and a guy was taking out his neighbor, taking him back home. I gave him my card and says, hey, if there's any some services you need beyond what you can do, you know, give us a call.
Very good. Rick Chilton, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, George.
Coming up next on the September edition of Our Town, Todd Davidson, who heads up Travel Oregon.